girl's wonderful Christmases. Whereas her mum was working, her siblings were refusing to commit to anything, and she had made a stupid mistake by pretending to her friends that she was totally fine and had loads of plans, and now it was too late to backtrack. Because last Christmas had been terrific, and this one was going to blow monkey chunks. Mirren was a lifelong book obsessive, who never felt she had quite enough books, who could really only feel secure with half a dozen unread paperbacks propped up by her bedside table, 3 library cards, 2 Kindles, and an emergency set of Douglas Adams in the bathroom, in case the lock broke. She had spent the previous Christmas on the trail of a book her great-aunt Violet had remembered from childhood, and begged Mirren to track down at the very end of her life. Joined by the devastatingly handsome Theo Palliser, who worked for an antiquarian bookseller, they had searched bookshops up and down the country before she had finally found it all by herself, hidden in her great-great-uncle's kit bag. The book had turned out to be a priceless original, written by Robert Louis Stevenson and illustrated by Aubrey Beardsley. And its real owner, her great-aunt's childhood best friend June, who was related to Beardsley, had decided to donate it. There had been a fancy handing-over ceremony when it went on display, and Mirren had even received a small finder's fee, which everyone had told her to use as a deposit on a studio flat. Theo hadn't come to the ceremony. Mirren had really thought they'd had something, but as soon as all the excitement had died down, he had ghosted her completely. Mirren had gone back to her job as a quantity surveyor, where nobody cared about books at all. Her great-aunt had died, and frankly, life now was much duller than it had been before her big adventure. She had even had daydreams where she and Theo travelled the world, tracking down books together. But of course, he had gone back to his posh world of hushed libraries and expensive first editions, and she had gone back to measuring up rat-infested warehouses for yet more student housing. There were not, she had discovered, a lot of job openings for bookfinders. Having such a breathtakingly large mortgage on her tiny new studio meant it was difficult to even think about doing something else. It was childish, she knew, to wish for something magical to happen at Christmas. Work was quiet, so she decided to take her lunch break early and found her steps straying, as they often did, from her nondescript office on the Euston Road, across the heavy thoroughfare of traffic, past the gleaming white hospital, and escaping into Bloomsbury, home of the British Museum, which, in turn, was home of her precious find, her most shining moment. The vast building took up an entire city block. Oh, how she loved Bloomsbury, the elegant area of London devoted to learning and books and study. It was stuffed with universities, libraries, publishing houses and archives, beautiful squares and manicured gardens, and everywhere on ancient buildings, blue plaques indicating the famous writers who had once lived there. J.M. Barrie, Virginia Woolf, W.B. Yeats, H.G. Wells, Charles Dickens. It went on and on. Mirren examined the Christmas displays in the tiny shops she passed, many selling books and antiques, and cut through ancient cobbled passageways where stood great tall houses with large brass door knockers that were old when Dickens was young. It was raining, of course, and she tucked her curling chestnut hair under her mustard-coloured beanie and prayed it wouldn't frizz too much. She passed groups of happy, shouting people on the way, heading into old timbered restaurants or wearing party hats. She wasn't looking forward to her own office party. They had had a very quiet year, and all the fun people who didn't have vast new mortgages had left. It would probably just be her and the accountants in the staff room with a packet of ginger nuts. The museum, with its columns and vast steps at the front supporting its iconic dome, was big.